are here. We are here with TMG's Shazia Manis at the Q's CEO Executive Network
Team Network
gathering. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Absolutely delighted to be here. What a gorgeous setting. Mm-hmm. And I think the keynote speaker this morning just kind of set the stage for what are the key themes we need to really be mm-hmm. more reflective. Mm-hmm. So I think we are off to a really good dialogue.
This is definitely one of my favorite conferences of the year because there's some great, I mean, if you look at the agenda, I mean, it is wall-to-wall great content.
And great strategic perspective as mm-hmm. well, and just not tactical. And that's what I believe most of the executives from the industry come in here to have, those robust, reflective type of dialogue, mm-hmm. and as again, tap into the collective intellect, which is always wonderful.
Exactly. Come here and chat it up and brainstorm and think of good things. Let's talk about, I have a few questions for you here. Look at this. We have questions for Shazia.
And I haven't seen those. So.
And no, this is totally off the cuff here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what are some of the key payments? We're talking payments, obviously, and that's an ever-changing topic. So what are some of the key payments trends that Creighton should be monitoring right now?
Well, I think, first of all, payments, the delineation and the separation between payments and banking is disappearing. It's mm-hmm. becoming one and all. So I think executives and industry need to look at in what way payment can help the business model. That means channel optimization to really build a deeper type of engagement with the end consumers, mm-hmm. How to position the right products, the right type of personalization, right type of loyalty in the right way. So again, it builds on that deeper relationship with the member that they serve. And then obviously technology along with collaboration and partnership and alliances, those are all sort of like byproduct mm-hmm. of all of these components and the nuances that are shaping in the payments world, whether from a value chain standpoint, mm-hmm. whether from economic standpoint, whether from orientation and delivery standpoint.
It's the payments is just mind-boggling what's going on right now. How you guys, I know, how you guys can keep up on it is amazing. I mean, and that leads me to my next question. It's not settling down at all.
Yeah, and it will not.
Yeah.
It will not, not for a while.
Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the more recent announcements, and why are they important to credit unions? Why should we stay on top of this stuff?
Well, first of all, I think the interesting announcement of Chase Net, the closed ecosystem where Chase is serving both as an acquirer, the issuer, as well as network, is interesting and able to use their scale and mm-hmm. contact and influence mm-hmm. to build a great partnership with the merchants that they have, mm-hmm. including Walmart, mm-hmm. Which is obviously is driving them to be in the front there, in the front of the consumer's wallet, mm-hmm. pushing their own brand, able to leverage the data and the analytics they already have. And then for the merchants, again, it's a least cost route, right? So because they have a preferential rate. So that's interesting what PayPal is doing with the brands, both MasterCard and Visa. It's a really, from their perspective, the announcement, they are not going to discourage the PayPal accounts to be decoupled from the MasterCard and the Visas. So they're actually, that for them is a play to get into the online space where mm-hmm. PayPal has such a dominance. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. now all of the PayPal merchants and the Braintree merchants on their acquiring side will be able to use the brand MasterCards and the Visas digital enabled type of technology, and the brands MasterCard Visa is looking at leveraging the online presence of PayPal, and PayPal is looking at leveraging the infrastructure on the POS and the physical store. So you're going to see that type of interesting collaboration happening. Another one I happened to see just actually a couple of weeks ago, that a large bank like US Corp Bank is forming partnership with credit unions in particular area to put out, like, I think they're infusing like about $10 million to have in St. Louis area to build up branches to serve the underserved and unbanked, because they realize that the big commercial banks are not equipped. They don't have the service model. I don't know how that will resonate
yeah.
with community banking.
So, yeah.
Their advantages, obviously, it's a social mission from that. There's tax advantage on another end. But more importantly, just interesting. I mean, you see that the yesterday's foes are not friends friends are becoming friends, mm-hmm. and collaboration. So I think you're going to continue to see that. FinTech is another one. I mean, 5-4 years ago, FinTechs were known more for disrupting the world, yeah. right, in the payments. But now it seems like they're building products and services for the big box players and providers. So it's sort of like an extension of the innovation, mm-hmm. because the larger big scale providers have longer time to adopt technology. Mm-hmm. So the smaller players have that agility and the ability to move. So that you're seeing a lot of those type of collaboration and partnership, which again goes back to your initial point that we're kind of very much in this inflection point where many things are still being tested, iterated, and being positioned, and the dust has not settled. There's many flowers still blooming, but it's an opportunity to really reinvent yourself over and over again. So I think that's how I kind of look at it.
It sounds like payments is maturing slowly.
Yeah. So to the next, plane where it should be.
Yeah, exactly. Next question here. What about, okay, now we're talking about maturing payments. What about the future of payments? What's on the horizon in the next year or so?
Well, here or so, I think you're going to continue to see, from my perspective, probably there has always been this aspirations of being engaged in the leveraging the enterprise-wide data that credit unions or FI community have, or even the payment providers have. But to what extent we have probably used it or leveraged it, probably not as much as the big box. So I think you're going to see a lot of recognition of using that in incremental as well as in an exponential way to really position the services, the experiences, and the personalization aspects. So I think loyalty, personalization would be very important. Mm-hmm. I think adoption, I think EMV is very much just getting in, and you know, we still got a lot of ways to go. Merchant adoption has been slow. There's muscle memory strong with consumers just swiping and leaving. So now you have to dip it in and wait and not working. So we got work to do. But I think as the merchants are getting ready to re-terminalize, as the adoption is going in, it will drive the next stage of digital payments, because most of the digital transactions through mobile payment, whether it's Android or Apple or whatnot, they kind of look like an EMV transaction, and that's the basic. So I think that would be important. Tokenization, we've heard a lot about that. I think it's truly a big foundational element for that next step of digital payments. So what I don't think there has been enough probably best tools or standards to kind of manage an issue. So token transactions are not dropped. People can manage it. So a lot more analytics reporting around that. Okay. Fraud. I mean, we all saw what's in it. It's not going away.
No.
The more we are living in this connected society where my shower talks to my toilet and my toilet talks to my garage door. These are sensors, right? And
now that's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, and the sensors are all connected to the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And anytime there's an IP protocol and internet that is vulnerable to hacking. So having right standards, right security is very, very important. Yeah. And I say this all the time that while digital payments and convenience and what you want here and now in whatever way is important, but consumers, end of the day, will never compromise security for convenience. So it's an and conversation. So how are we creating standards? I think we're going to see a lot more standards around biometric, around you know, internet of everything and the connected world of how payments is integrating. So I think you're going to continue to see a lot more of those components coming in, whether it's identity front of things, whether it's standards for biometric, and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, I think the Internet of Things is the next fraud frontier, so to speak, you know, because, I mean, they're going to be controlling the toilet and the shower and the refrigerator and the washer and dryer. Yeah. It's scary.
It's scary. I need to really look at it even beyond payments. I mean, healthcare. I mean, of the medical devices also have sensors. It's good that if my doctor has access to my pacemaker, but then if pacemaker has sensors, some hacker has access to it, I don't think that's those are the nuances. With the convenience and the connected society comes certain level of risks and vulnerability, and it's not that we will not embrace it, we just need to make sure that we have good standards and good detection, good prevention, good layering type of audit trail, and that's where emerging technology, whether it's blockchain and others, can kind of provide not only just the accessibility but also the information integrity and the audit trail as well. So I think we're going to see many of those type of innovation coming and different type of models that we haven't even thought about, probably.
Yeah, I call this like the ultimate double-edged sword, because you have this great thing called convenience on the one side, and the other side you have this scary thing.
It's an and world.
Yeah, exactly. All right, last question for you, Shazia, because I know you got a busy schedule today. Which consumer segments are going to be getting the most attention from payments providers this year and next year? Who's going to get it?
So I think the three segments that come to my mind, first of all, women, because I don't think that the if you look at the purchasing power and the commerce, a majority of those transactions are done in the household level by women. And so to making sure the experiences, the loyalty, and the positioning, the offer, the reward, the value, all of that appeals to that in a way that they can relate, that would be one millennium, because they are the technology for more proactively uses. They're not afraid to use that. So in what way we are reaching out to them in a way that, that resonates, we're able to tell the story. So there's going to be a lot of those orientation on that front. And then more importantly, the emerging population, which would be the immigrant or Hispanic and the Latino, the growing untapped population, where I don't think the mainstream has gone in other than through the reloadable or prepaid. So I think you're going to start seeing different models coming in to really look at this different segments and coming up with experiences, products, and solutions with the context of convenience and security and relatability to really expand that horizon from that perspective.
Shazia, my God, you gave us a lot to think about. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate it always, because I mean, I've always said you have more energy than anybody I know, and it's great energy. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great conference.
I will. You do the same. Yeah. Thank you. Well done.